Welcome to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. Youth ministries rise and fall on the volunteers. So we are here to encourage and equip you. Join the conversation as we tackle the practical questions you are asking so you can help the next generation know Jesus.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Volunteer Youth Worker Podcast. My name is Jeremy. I'm hosting today's conversation with my friend Tyler Rohde. Now, the fun thing about this podcast is that you as listeners, you're on the front lines of ministry. You're thinking about the students that are in your care, the ways that you get a chance to point them towards Christ. And then when we have these kinds of conversations, we're trying to bring you maybe things that you've thought about or that you've tried to process or that is sometimes a part of the conversation as a youth worker, maybe questions that you seriously wonder about. And then we get to talk about it. So Tyler's a youth worker friend of mine. I'm from Saskatoon. I want you to introduce yourself in a second. But this particular topic is a little bit tongue in cheek. And so as people can see from the question, should you burn all your students' secular music? I'm excited to have a little bit of fun with this one. So, but first, before we get into it, Tyler, tell people about where you're at, where you're coming from, what you get to do on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, so I'm the Family Ministries Pastor here at Lawson Heights Alliance in Saskatoon, and I get to be a part of our student ministries and children's ministries and parents and all that good stuff. And so it's a pretty neat sweet spot. Been here for almost 10 years and have some great volunteers that have been serving along with me for a long time. And I also get to connect with other pastors in the Christian Missionary Alliance and network that way. And so I love being able to do that.
Yeah, it's so good. And so, you know, when you get a chance to talk about this particular subject, what I love is that your experience is inside of this local church. You've got a long history of doing ministry in your context, and you've been thinking about this. You get to see the long-term effects of the work that we get to do with students. You've got students from 10 years ago, you know, so those messages that maybe you preached 10 years ago, they come back around and they thank you so much for the depth of your wisdom from your youth nights, maybe, or at least you get to see the fruit of what happens when we do long-term ministry. And these kinds of questions that we get to talk about, like about, you know, our student secular music, are important because they do potentially impact the way that we do ministry and the way that students grow up and think about faith. Now, Tyler, you have been doing this for a little while. Tell me about, though, your upbringing, because I think it's helpful to recognize your experience just as you were growing up and how that might play into this particular conversation. You grew up in the church, eh?
No, actually, none of my family went to church. And so I first got invited to a summer camp, a good old Bible camp back in the day. And then that was my introduction into summer camp and youth group and all those wonderful things. And so in the midst of that, I kind of went through, right in those junior high years, went through this wonderful journey of exploring who is Jesus, what is faith, how does this work, and how does my life fit in this whole conversation.
Yeah, and so as you were doing that, what can you put a time frame on that? Was that in like the late 90s, the early 2000s?
Yeah, exactly. That was late 90s, probably 96. The summer of 96 would have been the summer I was invited to summer camp. And
fascinating.
Yeah, that was the beginning of an incredible journey.
Yeah. Okay. So this is so cool. So you are growing up. There's not a faith necessarily connection in your home, but all of a sudden you've been invited into the Christian world, and so like I know a bit from your story. Like you kind of go all in. Is that fair to say? Like you sign up for church stuff, and then beyond that, you're into like the whole Christian world.
Yeah, pretty much. I really wanted to be loved and accepted. And I think people today, people have always wanted to be loved and accepted. And so when I found this group of people that was willing to invite me into their community and to their life network, it changed my life. And so I had friends, and it took a long time to make some friends, but it invited me in. And one of the things that was really neat was not only just youth group on Fridays or church on Sundays and exploring that group, but there was other extra opportunities like summer camp, like youth retreats, like concerts that opened the door for me to continue to just press in and grow in faith. When I was a teenager, like you had mentioned, I jumped all in. I actually went to youth group like 5 days a week. I was one of those kind of kids.
And how did you do? Your church didn't have 5 days a week youth group. Did you go to multiple churches?
I went to youth group at every church.
No way. Okay, so what was the spark of that? Was it just like, gosh, this community is so compelling, I want to be in it as much as possible?
Absolutely. I discovered, obviously at the local church where I went, they were welcoming and encouraging. But as I got to know other Christians in my school and other people, they continued to welcome me in. And I was desperate for attention. I was one of those kind of kids, maybe an extra grace required kind of kid. But I needed people in my life. And I think we all do. And so I found that and in a variety of ways. And I was really encouraged because there's sometimes where there's a little bit of an emphasis on, you know, who's going to youth group and where they're going to youth group. Well, I went to everywhere, so I just kind of broke down those walls. I was a little naive, and I wanted to draw closer to God, and even when I was still learning who he was in the first place.
That's so interesting. Can you pinpoint what was so compelling about the community that you were willing to kind of sign up for anything and everything and go all in? Because like there's lots of youth workers that are listening and they're like, gosh, I can't get like our students to come like once a month to one youth group, let alone show up regularly, or can't even imagine five nights a week going to a youth group. So what was it about the community that was compelling for you?
Just that love and acceptance from leaders who would talk to me every week, variety of leaders in a variety of ways, other students, you know, friends of mine from high school. But it was just, I knew when I showed up at youth group, there was going to be people that were going to talk to me about my day. And I had a good supporting, encouraging family, but I just loved that. I'm so thankful for those leaders that I had when I was in high school and the kids that invited me in and were kind and friendly. Just the love and kindness and friendliness from all kinds of students and leaders was incredible.
That's fascinating, because I think we sometimes forget the strength of that which we offer, which is that love and acceptance, that community. You know, I do wonder sometimes for the teenagers in, you know, if you're listening, you're obviously hopefully a small group leader, you know, you've got particular students. Truthfully, they may not have another adult other than you who outside of their family is willing to ask them about their day. So like, hopefully when they go home, there's a, you know, maybe a somebody at home that asks them, but outside of that, like another adult that's willing to actually pay attention, to be honestly interested, in a student. And so, that's a cool part of your story. So then, connect the dots for everybody. Cause now we're going to talk a little bit about this idea of Christian music, secular music, maybe these terms that if you've been around for a couple of decades in church, you remember, but it seems like we haven't talked about it in a while. At least in our country of Canada, maybe another parts of the world, it's been more of a current conversation. But so you're in this, you're all in, you found this community, and so it leads you into this kind of unique world that maybe you didn't know before of showing up at concerts. Fill people in. Who did you go see? What did you get into?
Absolutely. So in that community, getting to know people, one of the things that blew my mind was the opportunity to go to concerts all weekend long and go to YC in 97. That was the beginning of an incredible time in my life. I started going to that youth retreat and then other youth retreats. I actually went to probably all of them you can think of on the prairies. I think one year I probably went to 5 different youth retreats. I saved up my own money and I went, right? And so as leaders are trying to convince students to come and navigate parents' budgets and those kinds of things and students' budgets, it's hard to get buy-in. Maybe I was a little unique at the time. But yeah, I wanted to go because it meant I got to hang out with my friends for a whole weekend.
Yeah.
Like it was awesome. And then I got to learn and be encouraged and equipped. So the first concerts I remember going to was Rebecca St. James and Jars of Clay and those kind of guys. Church of Rhythm, I think, was another group. Jackie Velazquez back in 97.
Sure, yeah. Those are deep cuts in the Christian music. Keep going. This is fun. And if people are listening and wondering, so YC you referenced, I think just stood for Youth Conference. Is that what it stood for?
Yeah.
But it was this big, big, giant operation in Alberta. Is that right?
Yeah, it started in Red Deer back in 94, actually, before my time. But 94 it started. And once they filled up the Red Deer Centrium with 6,000 people, they moved on in 2000 to Edmonton and packed out where the Oilers play for many years with 16,000 people. And it was an incredible opportunity. They brought in tons of big guys. Michael W. Smith even did his one of his live recordings was at YC in 2000.
No way. Well, there you go. Oh, in 2000 even. Yeah.
2001.
Okay, so actually, but yeah, so you get into this whole world of like Christian music, and I'm assuming if you're at those big events, like all sorts of other Christian media is popping up and you're engaging with it. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, absolutely. Often the speakers had written books or those kinds of things, and all kinds of guests were at those activities and events.
Okay, so now you're fast forward to these days, and you're in this role as pastor, leader, shepherd, you know, in your youth ministry. And so what are the things that when you look back to those days that you think are probably worth looking at differently or changing? And what are some of the things that might be worth keeping the same? Because it seems like it's a different world. It seems like youth conferences aren't where they used to be. In some ways, it feels like maybe music is quite a bit different than it was back then. And so how do you, as a youth pastor, and you know, you've got a team of volunteers as well, how do you think about, you know, Christian media or Christian subculture these days compared to what your experience was growing up?
What I'm really impressed with is the quality of stuff that's out there. But one of the challenges too is whether it's books or movies or music, things have been just saturated with all kinds of content, whether it's high quality stuff or maybe stuff that's not quite high quality. There's a lot of stuff out there. And so I think we have this incredible opportunity as youth leaders today, because access to these resources is so easy and so incredible, but there's a lot out there and it's hard to navigate those waters. It's hard to find out and it's hard to know where do we steer things. And then at the end of the day, do we wonder, is it even actually worth it? Should we encourage our students to listen to Christian music or read Christian books or those kinds of things? Because it seems like so much work.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that for a second. So, like, honest question, should you burn all your students secular music? Even, it seems like these days we don't use even that language, which is probably fair, like this idea that music itself could be holy or secular in one way, shape, or form. I think those lines were difficult to draw. Maybe when we tried to draw them, we realized it was more about the finances behind it and getting attached to a particular, you know, recording studio, whatever it might be. But what do you think? Like, you got students, so you got leaders listening. Maybe you think about your own leaders in your ministry. You know, a student comes in and they're listening to Drake, you know, and that's their number one, played thing on their playlist. And even the way people listen to music is different. Their playlists are eclectic. They're different. But, you know, they've got a bunch of, like, whoever's popular these days in the top 40. And so, do you convince them to... I guess they don't have the CD, so you can't burn it. You're not going to burn their iPhone. Do you convince them to shake it up, though, and to get rid of their secular music? How do you approach that?
You know, I remember a little while ago talking to my students and find out what they're listening to. And when I had heard what they're listening to or this and that, I realized, oh, wait a second. We actually haven't talked about how we come to a point where we're making those choices for ourselves. We haven't come to a discernment process. Right. And so regardless of what kind of media it is, whether it's the things we do, the clothes we wear, all those kinds of things, that filters through, like I mentioned, and we've talked about before, a discernment process. And there's a few underlying principles that we have the opportunity in our youth ministries and our Bible studies to highlight so that they can make wise choices for themselves. When I was a teenager, I went through a discernment process. From going to youth group and Bible studies and retreats, where I realized, hey, the media I want to fill myself with, this is what I would like, rather than secular stuff.
It's really interesting. Okay, so the discernment process, maybe we need to elevate more than just the end choice, if I'm hearing you correctly. So what do you do with that? Like, how do you teach that or talk about that? Or is that based out of scripture? Is that something that we should be concerned about as volunteer youth workers?
I think almost anytime we approach the scriptures with our students, there's a few foundational things that we can kind of keep in the back of our mind and keep our ears open for, is this coming up in the passage? And then we can talk about it and point them towards these things. So things like holiness, walking with Christ, I'm drawing a blank here, but underlying principles that we can navigate through wherever we're going, whatever we're doing.
Yeah. Okay. So the holiness is an interesting one. I don't even know, like, have you preached a message lately in your youth group on holiness? I don't know if I've done that lately, but seems like it's probably a reasonable part of our belief in faith in Christ that he would transform us.
Absolutely.
Do you teach on it?
We've talked about it. Definitely. Because I recall, you know, talking about like holiness, breaking it down, things are set apart for a specific purpose. That's holiness, right? Set apart for a specific purpose. I want my life to be holy. I want my life to be set apart towards honoring the Lord. And so my shoe has a holy purpose, right? Not just because it has a hole in it, but it's for me for walking, right? Yeah. But I want my life to be set apart. And so when we're going through navigating through our Bible studies, when we look to the scriptures, there's ways in which that we can kind of keep all these things on the forefront of our minds so that we can be thinking through, how does this actually help me walk with Jesus more and more each day? And so one of the questions we'll ask at the end of our Bible study is, what do we need to do differently based on what we've studied?
Yeah, that's interesting. Okay, so it makes me think, and I just want to riff on a couple of maybe even verses here if this is helpful. It's a lot in Romans, but we think about like Romans 12, you know, offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, not conforming to the pattern of the world, but being transformed, the renewing of our mind. You know, this idea of being set free from our sin and being slaves to God, and that you reap this reward of holiness. And it's almost like the sanctification. Maybe this is a little bit of my faith tradition kind of coming out. But this idea that we would be in pursuit of Christ in such a way that, that our lives would be transformed from the inside out, that our faith is kind of from this inside out, that even our desires change. And so when we think about discernment, it's not necessarily about the end goal of like, watch this, don't watch this, listen to this, don't listen to this, but instead trying to filter the things that we consume and the ways that we interact with the world around us in such a way that we can actually come with this sense of not just holiness, but actually like, is God leading me into this? Is God with me as I engage with this? Is this shaping me, or am I being, am I being shaped by this in a way that's drawing me away from Christ or closer to him? And maybe those things are sometimes overstated and we have to be careful about making too much of it. But at the same time, that's a different conversation than just, is it appropriate to watch Squid Games or not?
Absolutely.
Which I haven't watched, but I've heard is a show that people have seen on Netflix.
Yeah, that
okay.
had its time in the sun. And so for
yeah,
me,
was,
the
was
two
a while
big
ago.
Questions that are part of my discernment process is, does this draw me closer to God?
Yeah.
And will this empower me to love my neighbors?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So great commandment.
Yeah.
Like boom, one and two. Absolutely.
Because
and
even as I'm sitting around watching the hockey playoffs, I'm sitting there and I'm reminding myself, feeling a little convicted, is this drawing me closer to God? Do I spend too much time myself just in that area of media?
Right. So even it could not even necessarily be just about the content. Like in some ways you'd think, oh, you know, the NHL game is probably neutral, but then the stuff that's surrounding it, am I watching this game with my neighbors in such a way that I'm building relationships with people? Am I just disengaged? Like I've locked the door and my kids are knocking, but I'm like, you can't talk to me because the Leafs are on. Like, there's lots of ways to even look at that. That's interesting. Okay. So yeah, go ahead.
So practically when we're talking about sports and stuff, I'm often thinking who can we invite over to join us?
Yeah. Interesting. How do you teach this kind of discernment, the way to engage with our media in a more thoughtful way? How do you actually teach that to students?
It ends up being a recurring conversation at youth group and in our activities. The big thing is when we see maybe some media or some content that we're not a big fan of and we know doesn't draw anyone closer to Christ, the big thing is to hold back and not be about behavior modification.
Mm.
But to engage in conversation in such a way to ask the practical question, hey, who is that? What are those lyrics? What is that? What is the message you get from that? Why do you listen to that? And asking questions, actually, students can actually see their own thought process or lack thereof, and it actually opens a door for a thought process.
Okay, yeah, this is really good. So the discernment process is asking more questions. So if youth workers listening haven't heard this before, when we say behavior modification, we mean there maybe has been times in our history as youth workers where we were about just trying to get students to check a particular box. You know, if you just came to youth group, check. If you read your Bible, check. If you stopped smoking, you know, check. You're doing the right things. That's just your behavior, but we weren't concerned enough. And sometimes we're not concerned enough about the heart, about the inside, about the motivation and inspiration. And what happens is you leave maybe your community and your community was all about doing things a certain way. And that made it easy. But the minute that you're in a different environment and your community changes, it's like, oh, I don't understand why I wouldn't get drunk on the weekend. Like, I didn't do that before, but it was just because my community was about that. And all of a sudden I'm like, well, I might as well just follow the suit of the new community that I'm in, because I don't have an internal reason for, you know, not doing this behavior or doing this particular behavior. And so behavior modification is something that we want to steer away from. And so what you said is to help students process and ask them more questions. How do you feel after, you know, you've listened to that? Or what does this make you think about? Or trying to learn and be curious about that. Also makes me think, I wonder if it's a little bit about trying to model it personally. So as volunteers, if we're wrestling with this kind of thing in our own worlds, how do we think Christianly? How do we engage with the things around us in a Christian way and pursue holiness? We're going to mess that up, and we're going to not have obviously perfect answers. And yet allowing students to see that this is something real that I think you deal with for the rest of your life. I used to joke sometimes when I talk about media stuff with students, I'm like, I'm not old enough to watch The Wolf of Wall Street. Like, I just am not. I don't know when I would be, but I'm not there. So, which is this crazy movie that is terrifying. And I don't know if it can be redeemed, but maybe somebody can say that it could be. Okay. So, I digress. Let's think about, that discernment. Do you have any tools or ways, places that we can point? Like, I'm thinking about our friend Walt. Are there other places that youth workers could go to learn a bit more about the discerning process or ways to talk about it, think about it?
As far as to understanding what we're watching and listening to, the places I go to when I'm trying to learn more would be Plugged In.
Yeah,
I still checked out their website just to help me understand things a little bit better. I also realize that any kind of time I'm looking at resources, sometimes they can be a little skeptical. Sometimes they can. I need myself to also be reading that with an open mind. Because we're getting one person's perspective on a certain area of media. Yeah. But
we'll link this in the show notes, but it's interesting. Focus on the Family is the overarching community there, and their Plugged In site, I mean, in some ways would trend pretty conservative in terms of their media engagement. And yet I've used that all the time too, because it lists like if there's nudity in this movie or if there's swears in this movie, and Common Sense Media would be another one of those types of things. And it gives you the ability to at least, again, just know before you go into it, kind of what you're getting yourself into. So that's good. Any other tools that you would use in the discerning and teaching the discernment process?
Most time I spend time doing is just finding out what it is in the first place, rather than just saying, oh, that's bad because I don't trust that person or that artist or that movie or that company. Spending time reading through the lyrics, asking kids or doing some research of what is the song actually say? What are those lyrics? Research actually is probably, in that way, is the best medicine.
Yeah. And then, and we'll link this. I think it's, I think there's some free samples of it, but Walt Mueller has at his Center for Youth and Parent Understanding, the 3D, like the discernment guide, where you can walk through this idea of like discovering what is in this particular piece of content, discerning, or I think maybe discerning is the second D. I'm gonna get this wrong. If Walt's listening, I apologize. But like just figuring out, you know, what angle and are these lies that it's telling? Is it truth that it's telling? How does it draw me? How does it make me feel? And like different questions like that you might ask your students as they're processing stuff, and then decide, what am I actually going to do with this? Is this something that I want to put in the rotation of what I consume, or and then again, personal decision, trying to different parts of your journey decide if it's something that is worthwhile. So we'll link that in the show notes as well. Go ahead.
That reminds me, another aspect of media is acknowledging that media is a part of everybody's journey, right? And so some songs are written to communicate a message. Some songs are written to communicate feelings, and some songs, especially if you're a fan of U2, seem really abstract. And it's like, I don't even know what's going on in this song, right? And so we need to understand the context of what's being written and how it's written. Because even though that artist might not be one that I would want to model my life after, there might be some pretty big honesty going through what they or that comes out of what they've displayed.
Yeah. And it makes me think too, that sometimes with our students, you know, we've got students that are using certain media as outlets for their own, as they're trying to make sense of their own emotions and their own thoughts. And so we have to be careful not to be cumbersome in this idea of like, hey, you should discern the media that you're consuming. Instead, being able to say, that, hey, if this is something that is important to you, why is it important? Because it helps give a window into the student's life or into their own, emotional self type of thing. And so, there's lots at play is the bottom line, I guess. It's more complex than just get all your records out and we're going to light up the bonfire. And, you know, these ones, when you play them backwards, they say the devil's with you or something. So we're going to put them in the fire. Okay, but we should say, so if we're not going to burn all of our students' secular music, but we do want to, if we don't, there's a couple of youth workers that are listening and didn't realize maybe that there are some Christians that are doing good art, or there's Christians that are trying to, figure things out or try to put something out into the world. Are there some places where you might suggest people look to learn more about maybe the music that might be out there in particular? That seems like an easier one to point people in a direction.
Absolutely. The first place I look when I'm looking for Christian music, or I want to listen to music myself, is actually two radio stations out of the States, and they have apps. And so one's called Air One and one's K-Love. Those are great places, great starting places. You'll find out artists, music, and all those kinds of things. And this is where I think we as leaders and teenagers and just Christians in general have a unique opportunity now than we did differently than we did 20, 30 years ago, is Spotify. Mm-hmm. Once we start listening to some Christian music, you open up Spotify, you start listening to stuff. They want to keep you on Spotify as long as possible. So they're going to keep finding you music that fits along with what you like, your interests, the things you've liked and the things you listen to. So if you start listening to some Christian music on Spotify, it'll actually start generating populating lists so that they keep you in the app and keep you listening and keep you praising God. And so whether it's starting with groups like Maverick City, who just won a Grammy, or Ren Collective, or other groups that are out there, Danny Gokey or Colton Dixon, those kinds of people, there's an incredible opportunity with Spotify to generate those lists. When I'm on Spotify, one of the things that I look to for some relatively current music is the Youthquake playlist that AJ's been updating over the years.
Our buddy playlist. AJ.
Yeah, he's spent a lot of work over the years updating it, and I'm not sure it's been updated in the last little bit, but there's a lot of good kind of indie artists, good artists that are on his list of like 132 songs on the YQ playlist. The other thing I noticed is when we've done some of these online retreats that we've done in the last couple of years, they'll often have playlists on Spotify and Instagram. So some of our students did Youthquake not that long ago, and there's a Youthquake playlist. We've historically done the youth retreat in Ambrose University, LYC. They have an Ambrose playlist or LYC playlist. And so again, unique ways that we can engage in Christian music and reinforce what's being done throughout the weekend, all throughout the year.
Mm-hmm. We will try to chase down AJ and see if he's still updating that, and we can add that one. But I see that they do have a YQ Briarcrest profile. But yeah, it's interesting. I was just, as you were saying that, I was like, oh yeah, when you're on Spotify, you click around with an artist and you can find what they've appeared on or different playlists that they're on. You can kind of link to different artists and all that kind of stuff. And it's maybe helpful and good to know as youth workers, if there's some places that, you know, can be helpful or encouraging, or just even to introduce your students to other things. It's again, not that we want, you don't have to convince them to burn all their music, but hey, maybe there's some cool things that they would like to check out that can be encouraging to them. Now, before we were talking, Tyler, I want to quote you for everybody, because I thought what you said was really insightful, and I don't want to miss this. And so I wrote it down before we record it. When we talk about like artists, people that are making, whether it's music or if they're athletes, like different people that are kind of in this public sphere as Christians, you said that, hey, they're on a journey just like us, you know, trying to fuse their faith into their everyday lives. And so we want to let that be an encouragement to us all, and we can celebrate that. But we also don't need to commit our students to following after one of these music artists or one of these stars, because, hey, everybody is on that journey and things can change and can be adjusted. So like, it's exciting when Justin Bieber talks about his faith publicly or, you know, sings a worship song in the midst of his concert. And yet our students need to know that they're not following Justin Bieber. They should follow, you know, Christ and let him be the one that dictates their future. But it is pretty exciting to see Christians in the public sphere these days, eh?
Absolutely. We also, in the whole journey and process, we also need to be making sure, am I following people or am I following Jesus? right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because like thinking things in a little bit differently, but on another media platform, we're thinking of pastors and leaders that were listening to their podcasts or watching on YouTube. We need to be really thinking through, is this pastor and leader draw me closer to the word, draw me closer to Jesus? Or should I maybe turn away and make sure that I'm following Christ first and foremost, more than any specific leader, regardless of how trustworthy or conservative or whatever it is that they may be.
Yeah. This is a good word, man. And I really do appreciate, the way that you've been in the trenches for so many years and the way that you can speak to these things for us as youth workers. As we think about just being discerning and try to teach that to students, are there any last words that you would have for us before we wrap things up?
One of the things that I love to highlight is just how wonderful it is to be able to spend some time investing in the lives of students and realizing that music and worship is so valuable for our own lives, but for the lives of our students, and to keep doing it even when it's difficult. There's been times where I've planned a youth retreat and it hasn't gone the way I've liked or things haven't worked, but I've done it and it's been great. There's been times where, you know, a certain number of students has shown up and it wasn't what I was expecting. Should we still sing songs together? And we do it, and sometimes it works well, sometimes it doesn't. But the neat thing, especially with music, is that it has the opportunity to fix our minds and our hearts on Jesus. So if you're a youth leader and things didn't work out the way you wanted, and you're like, should we still do this? Look for opportunities to continue to point kids towards Jesus through music. And when things, troubles or numbers or whatever gets in your way, keep doing what you're doing, because it continues to empower, transform, and encourage students in incredible ways.
I love it. That's a great place to stop. And thank you so much for your time today, Tyler. We will see you all that are listening back here next week for another conversation about volunteering in youth ministry. The work that you guys are doing is making an eternal difference. Thanks so much, and blessings on your week.